Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 9. Prahlad pacifies the Lord with prayers. Text number 3 to 5. Number 5 has the purport. 3 and 4 have no purport. So I'll read them. Praradan preshayam asha brahmavastitam antike tata prasamayopehi swapitre kupitam prabhun. Thereafter, Lord Brahma requested Prahlad Maharaj, who was standing very near him, "My dear son, Lord Nrisimhadev is extremely angry at your demoniac father. Please go forward and appease the Lord." Tateti sonakai rajan mahabhagavator bakaha upecha buvikayena nanama vidritanjali. Narad Muni continued, "O King, although the exalted devotee Prahlad Maharaj was only a little boy, he accepted Lord Brahma's words. He gradually proceeded toward Lord Nrisimhadev and fell down to offer his respectful obeisances with folded hands." Padamule patitam tamabakam Vilokya deva kripaya paripluta Utapyatach chishnya dadat karambujam Kalahi vitrasta diyam kritabayam. When Lord Nrisimhadev saw the small boy Prahlad Maharaj prostrated at the soles of his lotus feet, he became most ecstatic in affection toward his devotee. Raising Prahlad, the Lord placed his lotus hand upon the boy's head, because his hand is always ready to create fearlessness in all of his devotees. Do you repeat? No? Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The necessities of the material world are four: ahara, nidra, bhaya, and maituna, eating, sleeping, defending, and mating. In this material world, everyone is in fearful consciousness, sada samudvigna diyam. And the only means to make everyone fearless is Krishna consciousness. When Lord Nrisimhadev appeared, all the devotees became fearless. The devotee's hope of becoming fearless is to chant the holy name of the Lord, Nrisimhadev. Yato, yato, yamita, to Nrisimha. Wherever we go, we must always think of Lord Nrisimhadev. Thus, there will be no fear for the devotee of the Lord. Swapadamule patitam tamabakam vilokya deva kripaya paripluta utapyatach chishnyad dat karambujam kalahi virashta diyam kritavayam. When Lord Nrisimhadev saw the small boy Prahlad Maharaj prostrated at the soles of his lotus feet, he became most ecstatic in affection toward his devotee. Raising Prahlad, the Lord placed his lotus hand upon the boy's head, because his hand is always ready to create fearlessness in all of his devotees. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Is it true that everyone here has a PhD? I heard everyone at Chaupati, before they joined the ashram, they had to have a PhD. Is it true? No? Well, so no, I'm not so afraid then. I was very afraid coming to Chaupati. They say everyone here is very intelligent. Is that true? You can't say, can you? It's true. He can say. So you have to be very tolerant with me. Anyway, it's an honor to be here. I've heard so much about the Chaupati Temple for so many years. So to finally come here is a great honor. And to be asked to give class is a big surprise. So here we have the situation where, preceding this, after Lord Nrisimhadeva has appeared and disposed of Hiranyakashipu, all of the demigods have offered their prayers to the Lord, all very beautiful prayers. But Lord Nrisimhadeva has in no way been pacified. In no way has his rage diminished to the point where we see now Lord Brahma. He finally turns to Prahlad, who's just been standing there in ecstasy to see his Lord Nrisimhadeva. And Lord Brahma finally turns to him and says, well, perhaps you can say something to pacify the Lord. All of the prayers of the demigods were in some way conditioned by their material attachments. So they were actually, thank you for killing the demon and giving us our heavenly planets back. Lord Nrisimhadeva was in no way pacified by these prayers, not in the least. Well, why is that? We find the answer to that question in the prayers of Queen Kunti, where she uses the phrase akinchana gochara, that Krishna, he becomes the property of one who has nothing. Kinchana means you have something. You have something. Anything in this world you can become attached to. Anything. It is surprising also how quickly that attachment can develop. But one needs to be very mindful in this life that, as it says here, it's not directly translated in the verse, but the words kala ahi, of the deadly snake of time, which can cause immediate death. One needs to be very mindful of this in this material world. You can become so quickly attached to anything. Anything. Srila Prabhupada tells the story of how when he was a young man and doing his traveling for his business, there was one man at the railway station. All the people were there with their luggage to get on the train, and there was one very poor man there, and he had some bits of burnt wood, half-burnt wood. But he was very attached. These were his possessions. These were his possessions. So Kinchana, you can... everyone in the material world wants something. Everybody everywhere in the material world or the spiritual world wants something. Life is based on desire. Everyone has desire. We are not impersonal. We have desire. And when Srila Prabhupada talks about becoming desireless, he does not mean without desire. You cannot be without desire. Even you say, I want to be without desire. Yes? That's a desire. I want no desire. It's not possible. Because that is a desire. Just like people say, there's no absolute truth. Well, that's an absolute statement. You say there's no absolute truth. That's you're saying absolutely there is no absolute truth. These things need to be understood very carefully. There is no, as we say, there is nowhere where there is nothing. Srila Prabhupada used to say, well, perhaps there is somewhere where there is nothing, and that is between the materialistic scientist's ears. Perhaps there's nothing there. But generally, universally, we see there is nowhere where there is nothing. Not only is there nowhere where there is nothing, two things cannot be in the same place at the same time. You are here and he is here. You cannot be here while he is here in this space. So the same thing is there with the heart. There cannot be love for Krishna and attachment to material sense gratification within the heart at the same time. There may be some conflict there within the heart, but it is really the conflict of what is going to be there, one or the other, one or the other. So we see that in what is called the Misra stage of bhakti. There may be some material desire still there within the heart, while there is also the desire to serve the Lord. But whatever there is desire, there must be desire. We are in this material world because we want to be in this material world. Right from the beginning of our study of Srila Prabhupada's books, beginning with Ishopanishad, Srila Prabhupada is at pains to make the point that the human life is a life of responsibility. We are in this material world because we want to be in this material world. No one else is responsible for us being here except ourselves. One time in Melbourne, in Australia, Srila Prabhupada was arguing this point with some people, and he said, Krishna doesn't want you to be here. Krishna made every endeavor to convince you not to come here. But you were adamant, he said. You were adamant, so what could Krishna do? You want to go? Oh, so go. Because we want something. We want something. And while we want something in this material world, we will remain entangled in the material world. Because as soon as you pursue some material desire, as soon as you want to have something, then you are trapped by the interaction of the three modes of material nature. And you don't know what will be the outcome of your activities, even if you have a PhD. It doesn't matter. The material world is so complex and so vast in its complexity. Devi Yesha Gunamai Mama Maya Duratyaya. As soon as you enter the material world, you cannot get out. Because in order to enter the material world, you don't know that there is anything outside of the material world. That is one of the preconditions for entering in the first place. You have to forget everything. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya is at pains to instruct us that the fundamental problem of the conditioned soul is that he has forgotten Krishna. In order to forget Krishna, you must forget yourself. Not because you are Krishna, but because you are part and parcel of Krishna. Because you have an eternal relationship with Krishna. Your identity is your relationship with Krishna. So to enter the material world, you must forget everything. So when you do enter the material world, as we say, Omagyana Timirandasya Gyananjana, I am born in the darkest of ignorance. Life after life after life after life. Not just this life. Every life. Every life. And how long has that been? Srila Prabhupada uses the term since time immemorial. We have been in a state of forgetfulness of Krishna since time immemorial. If you wrote the figures in any kind of approximate way, it is inconceivable. In Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada gives the time duration of 100 years of Brahma, 317 trillion, 400 billion years. One creation. We have been in the material world for billions and billions and squillions of creations. So the forgetfulness of Krishna is very deep. And the influence of the three modes of material nature is very, very strong. Duratyaya. Mama, Devi Yesha Gunamai, Mama Maya Duratyaya. You cannot overcome the influence of the three modes of material nature. You don't even know that the three modes of material nature have you in their grip. You are thinking, I am the doer. Prakriti kriyamanani gunai kamani savasha. Ahankara vimudatma katahamiti manyate. The bewildered living entity. The bewildered living entity. Under the influence of the three modes of material nature. First bewildered. Then the modes of nature. And we all want something in this material world. Up to the kingdom of heaven. Up to the position of Brahma. We want Hiranyakashipu. He wanted the position of Brahma. He wanted to control the entire universe. And Srila Prabhupada says, Lord Brahma is creating the entire universe, and in the corner of your room, an ant is making a little hole. It is the same principle. I want something. So akinchana gochara. Akinchana gochara. And why should we become, why do we have to come to this position of wanting, having nothing in this material world, wanting nothing in this material world? Because you only need one material desire to take birth again. But the difficulty of the nature of the material world is the desire for things does never end. We are acting under the impulses of the three modes of material nature all of the time. And that creates desire. You don't have to look far when you go out of this building into the world around, how distracting Maya is. Maya's business is to distract you, to cover you over. But then she casts you into the material world again. And it doesn't take long for desires to come by the millions. So we need to purify our desires, because you cannot become without desire. So the purification of desire is what is required. Why? Why? Why purify your desire? Because we are part and parcel of Krishna. Because we are pure spirit soul, constitutionally. There's a, in Prabhupada's diary, in Hari Suri's diary, from one morning walk conversation somewhere, Hawaii, I think. There's a very interesting discussion there, how devotees were presenting the arguments of atheistic people to Srila Prabhupada. And one of the arguments of the atheist is, God does not exist. Because there is something deficient in you, you feel the need for God. So therefore, it's in the archetypes of time, all this mumbo-jumbo talk comes out, of how somewhere in the collective unconsciousness over the vast eons of evolution, the idea of a God has come into people's minds, so that because they are weak and they need something. And Srila Prabhupada turns that argument completely on its head. He said, the necessity of God is there because you are part and parcel of God. You need God, because that is your constitutional position. It's not that you need God because you have to have some vain hope in the face of the reality of annihilation in the material world. Materialistic person argues that everything comes into existence as a result of sex, and everything is completely finished at death. So before you're conceived, there's an eon, immeasurable amount of time has passed, and after this little spot life, an immeasurable amount of time into the future will exist, but you only exist in time for that tiny fragment of time. Before then you didn't exist, after that you don't exist. Now you exist for some time, that's it. Srila Prabhupada gives the example that because you are hungry, food is there. You need to eat, therefore food is there. You need God, therefore God is there. But because you become so dull and so blunt under the influence of pursuing material desires since time immemorial, under the influence of the three modes of material nature, we have become so dull that we don't anymore feel the necessity of this relationship with God. But we are eternal parts and parcels of Krishna. That is a fact. And because we are that, we have to purify our consciousness. Not only that, because we are that, and because the dormant love for Krishna, which resides within the heart of every one of us, has, by the association of pure, unalloyed devotee of the Lord, been reawakened, therefore, we have to purify our desire. Because the need to do so becomes manifest within us. We need this like we need food every day for the body. We need to purify our desires. Why? Because we are experiencing a higher taste. And we understand that this lower taste, these lower desires, these are sources only of misery. We understand this by virtue of direct experience. This is not armchair philosophy. Everyone is here because they have experienced something. Yes? Yes? You have experienced a reawakening of love for Krishna within the heart. Who can deny it? Therefore, we want to purify our desire. We want to purify our desire. So that there is no more desire for ahara, nidra, baya, and maituna. No more desire for these things. Only desire to serve Krishna. And why is that? Savai pungsam parodamo yato bhakti adoksaje ohitaki apratiyata yayatma suprasidati. Because we feel satisfied. Because the feeling of satisfaction is growing within the heart. The more uninterrupted, the more unmotivated our service for Krishna becomes, the more satisfied we become. There is no satisfaction in the material world. Sense gratification does not bring satisfaction. Just when Arjuna asked Krishna at the end of the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, what is it that causes a man to act sinfully, even against his will? He said it is lust that arises from contact with the modes of passion. And what is the nature of this lust? Dushpurena nalena cha. It burns like fire and it is never satisfied. It burns like fire and it is never satisfied. Just like we hear sometimes when sometimes a devotee due to the influence of past bad habits, bad association, material desires, he may drift away from devotional service. He may again engage in sense gratification. And you hear people say, when he hits rock bottom, he'll come back. There is no rock bottom. Sh- Srila Prabhupada says, just as there is no limit to the ecstatic emotions that you can experience in relationship to Krishna, there is no limit to the ways in which Maya can kick you. One time in a darshan in Vrindavan, Srila Prabhupada said, if you want to, Krishna will give you the intelligence by which you can stay in the material world forever. If you want to. Again, what do you want? And we see here all the demigods. They all want something. They're all devotees. But they are not unalloyed devotees. This is a very important term, unalloyed. Pure, unalloyed devotional service. What time do we go to? All right. Actually, to say pure devotional service is in the strictest sense of the term, it is what is called in English a redundancy. Devotional service is pure. Devotional service is pure activity. The more defining term is unalloyed devotional service. The reason I asked if everyone was PhD before is because now I have to talk a little bit of technical science, and I thought I don't want to sound stupid in front of everyone. But what is an alloy? What do we? Steel is an alloy. Brass is an alloy. Bronze is an alloy. What does it mean? So with steel, there's so many different types of steel. Titanium steel, cobalt steel. I don't know. So many different types of steel. Where you have the fundamental iron smelted with some trace element which changes the nature of the overall and creates a new substance. Yes? What is brass? Copper and... I don't know. These things, I failed chemistry in high school. But the point is, you take two elements and you mix them together and you make a third entity. But the nature of alloyed substances, is that you can reverse the process. You can take the brass and you can melt it down, and at a certain point, the tin comes out. Yes? Although they are mixed together to make something else, their essential identity is not lost. So under the right conditions, you separate them again. So this is the nature of our position in the material world. Ahankara vimudatma. The pure spirit soul is mixed with earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence. How? By false ego. The element of false ego binds these things together. The soul and matter, so that the soul thinks himself to be a product of matter and forgets himself as pure, eternal spirit soul. The unalloying process is the process of bhakti. Bhaktya mam abhijanati javan jaschasmi tatvata. Tatomam tatvato gyatva vishite taranantaram. We come from the kingdom of God. We enter the material world. We become entangled, alloyed with matter. All of our desire becomes covered by material desire. The original desire to serve Krishna under the influence of the three modes of material nature, under the influence of lust, which arises from contact with the mode of passion, our desire to serve Krishna's senses is transformed into the desire to serve our own senses. Tatomam tatvato gyadva. But when one is in full consciousness, by virtue of this bhakti, then he can again enter into the kingdom of God. He becomes unalloyed. And how is that achieved? By purifying your desire. Clarifying your intention. Making clear decisions on the basis of knowledge. Tato mam tatvato gyadva. So we must do this. We must do this because our love for Krishna has become reawakened. And we do not want to do anything that will destroy or separate us from this wholesome position. Now you might think, you don't fall into the trap of thinking love for Krishna is far away in time. One time when Srila Prabhupada was giving lecture on the verse Tesham Satata Yuktanam Bhajatam Priti Purvakam, he stressed this term priti. He says, because your love for Krishna has been reawakened, therefore you are performing devotional service. He says, you cannot perform devotional service unless your love for Krishna has been reawakened. And how is our love for Krishna reawakened? By coming in contact with pure devotees of the Lord and taking their association. Prema bhakti jaha hoiti advija vinasa jati. From him ecstatic prema emanates, and by him ignorance is destroyed. So we must never underestimate ourselves, actually. We must never underestimate ourselves. Of course, we should not have a false sense of our own grandeur. Prestige is not what we are concerned with. But we should have a proper respect for ourselves, knowing fully what the self is. Does anyone have any questions? Mrs. Chaupati, come on. Questions? Yes. Prabhu? Oh, wait.
Thank you for a very nice class, Prabhu.
Thank you for listening.
You mentioned that even if we have a single material desire, we will need to continue in this material world. Now, sometimes it happens that we come to devotional service and we have this particular ability to rationalize whatever activity we are doing is all spiritual, and we say that I'm doing this particular thing in devotional service, I'm doing that particular, and then because of that I'm having a particular position even in the spiritual society. Now there is an inherent risk that the activity that you are doing may be because of your desire for prestige, position and so on. But still you are told that no, it's devotional service because you are directly serving the deities or directly serving Srila Prabhupada. So then how does one know that the desires that he is having are material because of this nature, to because of our conditioning of so many lifetimes, we still have the propensity to be doing it, of prestige and so on. So how do we know that yes, we are actually in a danger zone? We are actually continuing with our material desires, and even though we might be in the association of devotees, we could be continuing with our material desires and then finally having to come back into the material world once again.
This is why we need the association of devotees. Devotees who are more advanced in the process, more experienced in the process. So that we can actually submit ourselves to those devotees for scrutiny. You please tell me. Yeah? Just like we see with Srila Vyasadeva, after he had compiled all of the Vedic literatures except for Srimad Bhagavatam, he was morose. And actually, that just on that, everything hinges. Srila Prabhupada says, if you're Krishna conscious, you'll be happy. If you're not Krishna conscious, you'll be morose. He said, you don't need PhD to understand this process. Actually, one time he said to our godbrother Tribhuvanath, I think it was in Glasgow or Edinburgh. Prabhupada had gone there for a program, and Tribhuvanath was in charge of the center. And he, one time he went into Srila Prabhupada's rooms. Srila Prabhupada was chanting his japa, and he watched Tribhuvanath come in, and Tribhuvanath sat down, and Prabhupada just chanted japa and looked at him. And then he stopped and he said, this Krishna consciousness is so simple, you can miss it. If you're Krishna conscious, you will be happy. If you are not Krishna conscious, you will be morose. When are you not Krishna conscious? When you are pursuing self-centered desires. Take it for granted that there will be a mixture of material desire and spiritual desire within the activity that you're doing, or within the consciousness within which you are performing that activity, there will be mixed. We are misrabhaktas. There will be mixed desire. Therefore, the association of the devotees will enable one to develop discrimination so that you can become the witness of your own activities, the witness of your own motivations, and the decider. Like they say, you know, you come to the fork in the road. So you have to decide. You can't go both ways. So you will come to the fork in the road in the process of your service. You will be given a service because you have some propensity. You have something to bring to the service of the devotees and the mission. So you will be given a position and a service. But you can know it is guaranteed that in the execution of that service, you will be forced to give something up in terms of your own motivations. That's a fact. That is the nature of the process. Then you have to choose. Like they say, the crunch will come. Everybody, in whatever their service may be, if they are sincere, and everyone is sincere, that's why they're here, that's why we're here, because there's sincerity, then we will be tested. We'll be tested by being given a choice. Either you take the prestige or you take the reality. Prestige means illusion. It's a term used by magicians. They create an illusion, and at the end, they present a prestige. They present an image as if something magical has happened, but it actually hasn't happened. There's just been a sleight of hand. So there always comes a time when you have to make choices about which direction are you going to go. Are you going to take the prestige, or are you going to take the reality? You choose. Arjuna surrenders to Krishna twice. He first of all surrenders in distress. Then Krishna instructs him. And then he surrenders in knowledge. And then the battle begins. Don't forget that. Then the battle begins. The battle to control the mind and senses. And it's all based upon choices. So the ability to see the need to make a choice comes from the association of the devotees. So we, therefore, the most important principle is to always remain in the association of the devotees. And sometimes be prepared to hear something that might pop your ego, pop your little bubble. And don't think you can't fall into the bubble of thinking that you're something that you're not. That is our nature. That will happen again and again. Therefore, the association of the devotees must be loving. Because it is only within an atmosphere of love that we can put down our defenses and hear the truth. So the essential answer to your question is to always remain within the loving association of the devotees and also be a loving devotee yourself. If there's no love, there's only fear and defensiveness. You can see it in every dealing. Just like here. Just, hello. You do a little theater with me. Sit here! How do you feel? Huh? No, please, sit here. You don't need a weatherman to know which way the wind blows. You just put your finger up and you know. So you keep your wits about you in your association with the devotees. The way you deal and the way you are dealt with is everything. Yes? Six loving exchanges. Srila Rupa Goswami tells us. Six loving exchanges. Now what you're talking about is revealing the mind in confidence and hearing another reveal their minds in confidence. Srila Bhaktivinoda, he talks about how sometimes in a sangha, some devotee may be acting in a worldly manner. In other words, thinking himself more than what he is, acting puffed up, strutting, looking for prestige, and in the process offending devotees. So he explains the process is that the leader of the Sangha should invite this person to a testimonial in their behalf. That person is then brought into the Sangha, a kirtan is conducted, a feast is served, and then the leader of the Sangha makes the announcement, oh, we're here tonight to give testimonial to so-and-so Prabhu. And then all of the devotees present, they glorify the good qualities of this devotee. And then it is up to the leader of the Sangha to say, so now, my dear Prabhu, we want to put this matter before you. And the matter of that person's ill behavior is then presented to them. For their consideration. But the process is so perfect because in the lead up to all of that, everybody's heart has melted. Everybody's heart is open. And the anattas fly away. So within the loving association of the devotees of the Lord, everything is possible. Vancha kaupa trubhyascha, kripa sindho bhivacha, patitan mam vishme bhavon, kripaya tava parap. Well, my mind is going off on another verse. Vancha kaupa trubhyascha, kripa sindho bhivacha, patitanam pavanebhyo, vaishnavebhyo namo namah. I was actually thinking of the verse from Shikshastakam. Ai nanda tanuja kinkaram patitam mam vishame bhavambudu kripaya tavapara pankaja stita duli sadrisham vachintaya. This is the mood to cultivate. Somehow or another, I have fallen down in this material world. Somehow or another. So the Lord, my dear Lord, please, you pick me up and place me as an atom of dust at your lotus feet. How does that happen? It happens through the association of the devotees. Actually, how do we know that God exists? How often does God appear in this world? I was just recently present at a little seminar that Banu Swami gave about the different scheduled incarnations of the Lord. And when you see it all laid out in terms of time frame, the rareness of the appearance of the Lord in the material world and the shortness of the time that he appears is overwhelming, astounding. And how is it that any knowledge of God exists in the world between those times? What to speak of even when the Lord appears? How many people knew Krishna was the Supreme Lord? Millions and millions and millions of living entities in the human form of life saw him, but how many actually understood who he was? Only the devotees. And it is only the devotees who carry the knowledge of the Lord through time in the material world. So this association of the devotees is inestimable in its importance. The way we take association and the way we give association. It's a constant process of refinement. And this is actually how our desires... Such a good question, Prabhu, actually, because this is the essence of our point. How the purification of our desires becomes simple and easy in the association of devotees, because we constantly experience the higher taste. Vishaya vinivatante niraharasya dehina. Rasavajam raso pyasva param drishtva nivatate. Very important verse. Because although the embodied living being may be restricted from sense enjoyment, the taste for sense objects still remains. That's us. But ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, one remains fixed in consciousness. That higher taste is the, the association of the devotees and everything that comes with it. Srila Prabhupada didn't come to the West and say, you follow these four regulative principles, and when you're fixed in that, I'll tell you something else. It's not possible to do that, because the taste is there. And unless there is the higher taste, so he gave his association. He gave prasadam. He gave the holy name. Take it. That is the higher taste. If we remain fixed in the higher taste, our process is a process of displacement. So the lower taste would more and more and more and more go to the periphery of our consciousness until finally it will vanish completely. And we will be back in the unalloyed state of ahoitakiya pratiyata. Any other questions? Have we got time? Any other questions? I don't. Yes.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for a nice class, Prabhu. You mentioned about this.
Thank you for listening.
Bhaktivinoda Thakur.
You can only speak nicely if people are listening nicely. First is hearing. So thank you for listening nicely.
Thank you. You were mentioning a nice point about Bhaktivinoda Thakur's formula for, or suggestion for, correcting behavior. So, do you know of any example where anywhere in ISKCON we have tried it? Or we have personal experience of this, and how does it work?
Well, I heard it went on at Chaupati. I heard Chaupati is the model for Vaishnava association. Is it true? Everyone here seems very happy. Yes? Because of the loving association, the anattas are not prominent. So, in terms of what I said about Bhakti Vinod, higher than the law is the law of love. So if the correct atmosphere is there, the type of thing that I was talking about doesn't have to happen. But it may happen in small groups. I've been in situations with devotees where this has been done, and it always works. But that is a secondary thing. Just like, you know, the police force is there because the criminals exist. So these kind of things have to be there when the atmosphere of love is not properly there. So the cultivation of the loving atmosphere is the primary issue. Any other questions? Is that all right? Yes? I know of situations in which that's been done, but I'm not going to discuss them in detail. Any other questions? I think that's it. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.